Hello and welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, Susie Ruffle.
And me, Tom Allen. And, well, the internet's been a bit dodgy. I'm sorry if I freeze at any point.
No, it does look like you keep doing sort of tableaus.
Which, let me tell you, in Year 9 drama, I thought was going to be a very big part of my life going forward.
Yeah, there was a real moment for tableaus. Mm, and then I don't know that it's come up again since. It's just sort of being still, right?
Yes.
Holding a moment.
Which is probably the skill that they're trying to teach you at that point, isn't it?
But I think it was definitely sort of suggested to me it would come up more as in my life as an actor.
100%, yeah.
But they never do it in Call the Midwife.
Seldom. Seldom, if ever.
Not a lot of Greek choruses either.
No, but they love all that, don't they, at school? Love a Greek chorus, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Something for everyone to do, isn't it? Mm. There's no small parts, only small actors, you know, all that rubbish.
Yeah, something for everyone to get involved in. Which is true, isn't it? Until, like, a big actor comes along and then they're like, we love you.
Yeah. Yeah, until someone's Hamlet, there's no small parts, there's only small actors.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Tom, I want to get a clang out of the way early doors.
Okay, all right, do it.
Well, only because I've just mentioned it, I met Helen George at the weekend.
Susie, why is this taking this long for you to tell me?
I know, I'm sorry, we're already a minute into the podcast.
Where did you meet her?
We were watching the Bluey half an hour long episode. For those people that don't know, Bluey's a kid's show. I don't know how you've missed it, even without children, you must be living under a rock. It's genuinely, I think, the best program on television. It's so good.
And it's a live show as well.
It's a live show as well, but we went to the cinema to see their half an hour.
Oh, because I was going to say, the live show was on in Ipswich, in the same theatre that I was on.
Oh, what, doing, not at the same time?
Yes.
You had half the stave each?
Yeah. Just all on the same stage.
Anna. Wow.
Yeah, it was very confusing for people. Not least my fans. But anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. So the cinema screening.
So there was a screening that I went to, and there were, you know, some fun friends of ours that are parents. You know, Big Tom D was there, John Richardson, people with their kids having a lovely time. Anyway.
Was there a carpet? Do you have to walk up? Was it?
Yeah, it was a blue carpet because.
A blue carpet because it's blue.
It's bluey. Yeah. I mean, it's great. She was there.
I'm imagining people blowing bubbles.
She was there. Yeah, there was that sort of thing. You could get a glitter tattoo. It was great. Oh, okay. I did take my child.
Not a real tattoo.
Yeah, they were tattooing children. but it was fantastic. And honestly, Bluey is the best show. Yes. I'm not being paid to say that. We're not sponsored by Bluey or anything. It's just brilliant.
No, we wish.
And there's a character in it called Pretzel, and Pretzel has two mums. And honestly, they don't make a thing out of it at all. But he's like, I'll have to ask my mums. And honestly, when Pretzel said mums, my eyes filled with tears.
Did they? Yeah.
Because I was just like, I love all that. You know, I love the gays. Love them so much, I've become one. And anyway, we're sitting there. Friend of the show, our agent Flo, we're with her as well. We're having a great time.
Yeah.
Helen George walks in. No, Alice turns to me.
Everyone stands up.
Everyone stands. Stand for the Queen. I don't know who. People know who Helen George is. She's sort of the main character in Call the Midwife.
People don't know who Helen George is. Forget it. Just switch this off now.
Yeah, this isn't the podcast for you.
We can't
bring you along at this late stage in the game. Yeah. Like either you're in or you're not.
You can't keep making concessions for people, Susie.
No, you're right. Okay, so Helen George comes in. We all stand. And then obviously they play the national anthem. And of course, which is just the theme music to Call the Midwife. And then they got Vanessa Redgrave to say, she's here in Poplar.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Of course. Anyway, she walks in.
She walks in. Was she with her family?
She was with her family. She wasn't there solo. She was with her family.
Mm. She might like it.
And she, Alice, my wife, friend of the show, said to me, oh my God, Susie, there's Helen George. Because because we're both huge fans of Call the Midwife. Mm. And then Helen George looked at me and went and said, Susie Ruffle, finally we meet.
Wow.
They had to call an ambulance.
My goodness, the defibrillator had to come out. Yes.
And I'm terrible with famous people that I love. So I was like, oh, hi, Helen George. I didn't call her Helen George. I thought it would have been weird. But I was like, hi, Helen. And we had a little bit of chit chat. She was lovely.
Oh, I bet. Did she knew that you wanted to meet her? How was that? Was that through this podcast? She knew.
I haven't written in.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if you had.
I didn't say like, hey, babe, where you?
But she knew that you want, I said it last we meet.
Yes. So we had been sort of occasionally playing tag around the country when she was in a city that I had just been in or I was in. So I was in Bradford at the same time as her when she was doing The King and I.
Oh.
And so we'd had a bit of back and forth, but we'd never managed to meet.
I understand now.
Huge.
Social media back and forth.
Social media back and forth.
Oh, Suze.
And I think it's all thanks to you because when you interviewed her on Virgin, you name dropped me, which is
you know,
sort of
I do
half
what
a clang.
I do what I can, but this is great news. That
It's really huge.
She was with her kids. You were with your family.
Yes.
And so you had a chat in the cinema.
In the cinema. But then Tom, get this. So we have a chat. Mm. It's great. So nice. She's so charming and lovely.
Mm-hmm. So
anyway, then we all sit down.
Okay.
Did you know in the Odeon in Leicester Square, there is an organ that can pop up?
No.
Just in front of the screen where the stage is.
I love that because, you know, that's what happened at my Stockport show. That has an organ.
Yes. And, but did that pop up through like a trapdoor or was that at the back?
It does come up. It's not really in a trapdoor. It's in front of the stage. And at first we were just going to ignore it. And then the second night I was like, we've got to pay someone to play this. And we did. And it was very good. But the trouble is it's quite a haunting sound.
It sounds
like a sort of a spooky fairground. So
they were doing the bluey theme, but it was slightly haunted.
Yeah, quite spooky, right?
Yeah, but great.
But was it dramatic when they came out?
Yes, it was. Everyone went, ooh, and it was like flashing different coloured lights.
Oh, wow.
So is that, do you think that's there from like when they used to play people in it? Like,
yeah,
silent
movies?
Yeah. I mean, surely not that long
ago. I suppose so. Or it was like a thing, wasn't it, that they would play.
When there used to be an interval in films.
Yeah, I think it was more that, wasn't it? And like when you were walking in to have a bit of music. So I suppose there wasn't as much recorded music. You couldn't just play a CD, I suppose.
No, but I feel like now you don't get a CD when you're walking into a movie. I feel like it's silence or like...
adverts.
By this thing.
I think a lot of those big sort of 1930s spaces do have them still. And often they're like locked away and they come out once every now and then. And it's spooky. But sorry, I interrupted. So the organ blasted out of the floor.
Blasted out
Did that take Helen George back? Was she suddenly stunned?
I don't know.
Fell into her seat?
Potentially. But the thing is, you've got to remember with Helen George, she has delivered so many babies now.
So many.
I imagine it's so hard to shock her.
Yeah. Oh, I bet.
It'd be so hard to... I wonder if she's ever been in a scenario where someone has had a baby in real life, IRL.
And they've called upon her.
Well.
Or maybe she knows. Maybe she knows what to do.
Well, I just think I would trust her more than someone with absolutely no experience. Because I think she's pretended to do it a number of times.
And I think the thing with actors is they can feign confidence. And I think that's half the battle, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's true. Same with doctors. You know, if someone's doing heart surgery, if someone's got a bit of confidence about them, it will probably go better.
Yeah. That's true, isn't it?
Is that true?
Believe in yourself.
That's what this podcast is about.
Yeah, people have got to believe in themselves and you can do it.
Yeah.
You can do anything if you just believe. You don't need to do the work.
You don't need to do training.
You don't need to do any training. You just need to
believe
in
yourself. Don't go to school.
No, school's
not cool.
It's indoctrination a lot of the time with school.
How do you think we ended up gay?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, kick the bin.
Oh, what was that?
I just kicked the bin by accident.
Getting so furious about people going to school, we kicked the bin.
Just believe in yourself, for goodness sake. So I'm being sarcastic with that.
Of course. Tom, you don't need to say that.
No, but I just wanted to make that absolutely clear.
Sure. Crystal. It's crystal clear, babe.
A lot of podcasts, though, are made exclusively about that sort of thing.
People about believing in yourself.
And what does it mean? Believe in yourself. What is that? And if you don't believe in yourself, well, you're not going to be changed that by just being shouted that by somebody on a podcast.
Yeah, there's a lot of that sort of, if I can do it, you can do it.
Yes, I don't
really buy any of that because everyone's seeing from quite a different song sheet.
There's a lot of song sheets.
There's so many song sheets. So when people do The Secret, which I know works for some people and people really love, but you need to be have like a level of privilege to be like, I'm putting these ideas out into the world. Like, I don't think that people that are really struggling have got just the time to manifest.
To manifest. The only thing I think with The Secret is, and I'm not trying to debunk it or anything, because as you say, it has to
be. It's a secret.
Please keep it that way. But I think the whole thing of manifesting is you just basically have to decide what you want. Because I think for a lot of the time, we go through life not having a specific plan. So that's, and then, or a goal. So I think if you go, I want to be
a movie star.
I want to be, yes, I suppose that's the classic one. But if you go, I want to be to run a shop. I want to be a vet. Then you manifest that by
doing all the work
in your mind. And I think, I think if it's in your mind somewhere that like, oh, I want to be a vet, then the universe and your subconscious will guide you towards, oh, I couldn't believe it. As soon as I thought I wanted to be a vet, I met this person who actually...
I met this dog.
Wow, that's
this
the
dog
universe.
With a gammy leg. Oh my God.
And I healed it. I mean, that's how, just believe in yourself.
But I know, you're so right, Tom. You're so right because it's so much of like achieving the thing. And like, that's the whole thing with The Secret, isn't it? And again, it's definitely worked for some people and there's definitely like lovely things about it. But like manifesting and creating what you want and calling things to you. Yes. So much of it is about having the guts to say, this is what I'd like to do with my life.
Yes, exactly.
And then taking steps for that to happen. Yeah. Like, I don't think you need to thank the universe. Thank yourself.
Well, yes. And you are a part of the universe.
And that dog.
And that dog you met. But like being, I think as well, people will be like, I want to be a movie star, but that's too broad. And I think what you have to do is like, you have to go, well, I want to be somehow involved in making
in
films.
Movies.
In movies. I don't know if that's what Helen George did, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, Helen, if you're listening, do get in touch. How did you become a movie star?
How did you become Helen George? Do you believe in yourself? But you know, when someone says that, just believe in yourself, what does that actually mean? I don't know.
Well, I can't believe in myself because I'm an unreliable witness.
I am too, though.
Like, some days I want some things, other days I want other things. And honestly, if I listen to myself, some days it's like, you need to stop, bitch. You're not funny anymore. Your best days are behind you. Get a job.
Yeah. What, who do you think you are? Those voices come
you're
in.
You're embarrassing yourself again. I can't believe you're doing this.
So I should listen to that voice, apparently.
Yeah.
Trust myself. Believe in myself.
Yeah, trust your gut. I can't trust my gut.
Well, it changes every day.
Yeah. And I haven't had an acting melt in years.
And but if I get a good night's sleep, sometimes that makes me feel better, but sometimes that makes me feel worse because my angry brain is more energized.
Now I've got all the energy I need to manifest anxiety.
To realize how much I hate myself. Let's go. What else can
Let's
I manifest?
Go, girls.
I've got this.
Yeah, great.
Is that a platitude? I always think that, is that a platitude?
I don't know what a platitude is. I thought that was when you had small plates.
Oh, that's true as well.
Should we have a platitude?
It's a sort of platitude restaurant.
What is a platitude?
I thought, isn't it like a sort of inane kind of saying or a bit like, you've got this or believe in yourself,
like
but it doesn't actually have any substance.
You're doing great.
You're doing, you know, which we all are. We are all doing great.
I don't know. I'm not sure what us are. I think some of us are doing fine. And I think that's enough.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Some days you don't need to do great. Some days.
I think there's definitely something in that. Sorry.
Some days doing like scraping by is totally fine.
I agree.
Do you find that with writing? Like, so I'm new into this whole writing a book thing, and you've written two. So you're sort of the daddy in this scenario. and there are days when I am like, I can bash out like 3,000 words, not even worrying, not even getting up for a cup of tea, just like bash. Then other days, literally like a sentence is like dragging it from like my core.
Well,
and you have to just accept that, like, that's part of writing, right?
Well, I was bought a book called The Writer's Block, which is like, it looks like a...
You've view. Bought me that book.
Oh, did I buy it for you? Yeah,
you
I did,
bought me
didn't
that
I?
Book. Yeah,
because I got bought it and I thought it was good. Well, there's a quote from Tom Wolfe in there. I'm sure it's Tom Wolfe who goes, "There are days when the muse is really with me and I feel so inspired to write, and there are other days when I feel like I'm really, exactly like you're describing, forcing myself to write, and it feels really arduous, really uphill." And he said, and I think, oh, this is never going to be as good as the days when I was feeling inspired. And he said, when I go back to look on the full draft, including the work I've done on both those days, they both look exactly the same.
Really? So when the muse is at coffee, you can still work?
Yeah, when the muse is nowhere to be seen and you're like, oh, what's this?
When she's popped out.
Yeah, when she's popped out for...
What do you think your muse looks like?
Oh, that's a good question. Oh, I think a very calm, positive person who just sort of sits there quietly.
Nice. Positively.
Yeah, that's what I think. What does yours look like?
Maybe like Cher and Splash. Like a mermaid.
Okay. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah?
Don't let it go in that TV shop.
No, of course. You simply mustn't.
You mustn't just... But so, I'm sorry. I feel like we went on a whole, not like us, a whole roller coaster of thoughts and feelings there. So back to Helen George. She walks in.
I feel like we've covered Helen George. She says, "Hi, Susie. Finally, we meet. I'm so like thrilled. I manifested that. Alice was so excited that she grabbed Big Tom D's wife's Catherine's hand and was like, oh my God, we love Call the Midwife.
Big Tom D's Catherine's hand.
Big Tom D's wife's Catherine's hand and was like, oh my God, we love Call the Midwife. And Susie's talking to Helen George. I think we were like too excited. But like in a great way. Yeah, I screamed. I cried. I mean, it was like, you know, Beatlemania, but it was just me.
Oh,
like
just
I was holding
own.
My face and screaming.
And behind like a fence. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She put the fence up.
She actually travels.
She travels with a fence. Yeah.
Used to it.
And then says, don't take a fence.
Don't take
and
a fence.
And everyone laughs.
Oh, she's charming as well as
funny.
As well as practical. Yeah.
imagine if she ever listened to this. She'd be like, what the fuck is this?
It's quite, I think you don't realize how many references there are to her.
Oh, I think, I feel like this whole episode has been about Helen George.
Well, and other episodes have also referenced her. We forget sometimes.
What, that we're being recorded and this goes out and that people actually listen?
100%, yeah. and so, but was there like a plan to, I don't know, ignore the children and just go for a coffee in the cinema?
Yeah, I think prob's not. She wasn't giving me that vibe. She wasn't giving me a we should go for coffee vibe. Not yet. Sure. I mean, when I'm eventually on the show, I imagine there'll be a tea break.
Oh, oh, you know that tea break.
Tea break.
When we're there as extras on that set.
Yeah.
We are going to be crossing over into the featured artists area.
Oh, can't wait. To grab a Garibaldi and have a chit chat.
Garibaldi. Yes. Yes. And if anybody else starts to talk to us, like Jenny Agutter, no. Back off. Not today.
Not today, Josephine. I mean, Jennifer.
No way. This is about us chatting with Helen George. That's what we're going to say.
I'm slightly hungover this morning. Can you tell?
Well, I couldn't tell until you lifted the Barocca up.
Yeah, I'm on the Baroques. Like, I'm 10% hungover. Maybe
where
15.
Was you as the
where
as,
was I?
Yeah,
I went to the Ivy.
Oh,
which was really fantastic. They've got a restaurant in London Bridge by Tower Bridge. Actually, a really lovely place to spend time. You know, like
yes,
but that Tower Bridge area
that
is so
nice.
It was all lit up, and I went with Flo, Lily, Katie Helps, and KTA. Who are the girls off the curb? Shout out to all of them who work off the curb, our wonderful agency. And we went out to celebrate my tour, and they'd all worked so hard. So we all went for a nice little meal together.
What a nice thing to do.
It was super fun. Oh. It was such a laugh. We just laughed nonstop. It was great fun.
Oh lovely.
So we went out and had a little celebratory dinner. Fab. Oh. Really nice. Really
nice. That's nice. And
had
so you had
a steak.
Few... Oh,
had a steak.
Yeah.
Sorry,
good.
Yeah, and scallops and a creme brulee. There you go. Just in case. Just so everyone. I think otherwise people would be wondering what I did. And that's what I did.
That's nice. Did you have a cocktail?
Thank you for asking. I had a watermelon and basil spritz.
Oh my word. That sounds wonderful.
Something with vodka. It felt like it would be refreshing. It was.
Was it?
Yeah. Mm. Then we had a bottle of New Zealand Pinot Noir.
Oh, you gotta get the New Zealand.
You gotta get the Marlborough. You gotta get the Marlborough.
You gotta get the New Zealand Pinot.
The New Zealand Pinot.
That's what it's called.
Did you have that? I know you've travelled, but really,
really, come on.
It was very nice, and then, but I think my undoing. But I'm not totally undone. But I think my undoing was a double amaretto before I left. With ice.
Dark spirits like that
bring dark thoughts.
Yes. I found this a lot. Often when drinking in the home, after
by myself
dinner,
at 3 o'clock.
By myself. Often after a meal, for example, the other day, Alfie and I had dinner and we took it into the garden. We thought we were very sophisticated.
What did you have?
We had lamb actually. Shoulder of lamb.
Sure.
Roast potatoes and some broccoli. I put it on a platter. We took it into the garden.
Platitude?
We put it on a platitude. It was
Did
like,
you yeah. do it on the barbecue?
We toyed with that idea and then actually the cooking Could instructions were just put it in the oven and it was yeah. easier. And sometimes I have got overexcited to try to do things on the barbecue that don't need to be on the barbecue,
yeah.
but I've thought it'd be fun and then it's actually quite a lot of work. So we cooked it inside, took it outside. And
Pretty nice.
It was freezing cold, of course, outside, so we lit the fire pit. That didn't really yield much heat. But anyway, that was that. But we sat outside, and then afterwards I was like, I'm going to have a brandy. We're so sophisticated. Well, we watched an episode of Girls Five Ever, which we've become obsessed
with. I'm sorry, what's Girls Five Ever?
It's exec produced by Tina Fey. It's starring Sarah Bareilles, amongst other people. Susie, I think you'll love it. If you like Kimmy Schmidt, you'll like
Yes, I love Kimmy Schmidt.
There you go. You'll love it.
Can you give me like the top line? Can you give me the elevator pitch? I don't know. I wonder what it's like pitching as Tina Fey. Do you think she has to go into a meeting or do you think they're like, babe, make what you like?
I'd imagine it's probably the latter.
Yeah.
It's essentially forgotten girl band reform. That's it. With their new.
I mean, sign me up.
Yeah, it's right up your street. It's got a sense of like, you know, all their different lives coming together and... It's very, you'd like it. It's a nice, liked watch.
I tell you what we're watching that you'd love. Palm Royale. Have you heard about this?
Oh, hello. Hang on, what's it about?
Kristen Wiig, Alison Jenny.
Oh, yeah.
Laura Dern.
Oh.
And a whole host of others. Oh, Carol Burnett.
Please.
And basically, please, it's set in the 60s?
Okay.
Yeah, I guess the 60s. Oh. And it's all about like Kristen Wiig's like trying really hard to come into some money. But she's not like she moves to this really posh Palm Spring area. And everyone's got loads of money and she's like totally faking it and trying to, but she believes, I mean, she's trying to manifest herself into that world.
Oh, I love that.
And she'll kind of do anything to get there.
Wow.
But it's really high camp. It's really
You didn't need to mention that.
Sorry, was it Kristen Wiig, Alison Jenny, Carol Burnett, and Laura Dern?
Living by the sea, trying to pretend they've got money. Yeah, yeah, I got the sense it might be quite camp. I don't know why.
But you're very good at picking up those very subtle indicators
vibes,
of campness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, that's true,
you're
actually.
You're very good with that.
Yeah, I love anything subtle. Oh, I'm going to watch that.
You That'll and me both. Mm. Yeah, you'll love it. I think it's very up yours and Alfred Street.
Okay, I'll pop it on. The televisionogram. Now, but I feel like the Helen George situation hasn't been resolved for the listener. So,
oh my gosh.
So, and then it was like Alice is like slapping everybody just to like draw attention to the fact that this is such a big moment.
But round the face.
Around people, but Alice openly punching people in the face.
You know, do you know that episode where Susan Sarandon's in Friends? And she talks about like how important it is of how you slap people in TV shows. where you go like like that. You know, that's Alice was like, look, why won't you look? It was really it was a lot.
Like pushing the organ player off the,
yeah, exactly,
off the stool, just to,
yeah,
be like,
got Bluey, like twisted Bluey's head. It was like, watch.
Push
no,
Bluey off the
that
floor.
Didn't happen. Yeah. We said hello. She was charming. I tried to be charming.
And then she sat in the row in front of you, so she's just like there, you're in the presence.
Yes, exactly right. Exactly right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly
and then,
right.
So were you on the recliners at the front?
No, we weren't on the recliners at the front. We were more towards the back, which is where I'd sooner sit at the cinema.
Yes, of course.
I don't want a crook in my neck.
No, quite right. Helen George comes in, you say hello, and then does she sit down and then she's just there for the rest of the film?
Yeah, but it's only a half an hour film. And then we all get up to leave.
That's what
I said, nice to see you. She said, nice to see you too. And then she left.
She got on her bicycle.
She got on her bicycle. She put one kid in the front, one kid in the back.
That's it.
One in the doctor's bag, one in the hat.
Yes, that's what
they have.
So many children, yes.
So many babies, all newborn.
Of course. That's her way. Yes.
And off she went into Poplar to deliver some babies.
Of course she did. Back at it.
Back at the coalface.
Exactly, at the grindstone. That's our
I don't
Trixie.
Know whether we should call vaginas coalfaces, but you know what I mean. it's like a mine in here.
Wow.
I know, so much.
And then she was gone.
As quick as she came, she left.
A thrilling moment. Mm. Wow.
Do you want to know what my anxiety has been this morning before we leave our friends?
Always.
So obviously the anxiety is always a little bit worse when you have a 10% hangover, like I do. And I put a little silly video up on Instagram about giving people anxiety tips, which was like a mistake.
Yeah, I thought that was so funny and I was going to share it and I couldn't.
Well, Tom, thanks.
Was it a reel or was it a story?
It was a reel.
Okay, well, I'll share it as a reel then.
You don't need to. I'm only joking.
Sorry. I just saw it as a story and I thought, I'm going to share that.
And
I went to press the button. And anyway.
A guy wrote underneath it something about like how I've got like really big bags under my eyes.
Oh.
It's like, oh, God, with those luggage bags under your eyes. And look as tired as you do with those luggage bags under your eyes. And then,
oh, what a prick.
I know. So then I like responded to him and was like, I always look tired because I've got a kid and a career. But luckily I don't care what men on the internet think of my appearance. And then I shared it. And then while I was in the shower, I worried that I would upset this man by sharing it. And then I was like, why do I care? Why do I care about him? He's been mean to me. But then I worried. I was like, oh, what about if he's depressed? What about if he's a sad person? Now I've just been mean to him. Well, I don't. It's stupid,
I mean,
isn't it, Tom?
One,
isn't it
isn't
stupid?
It? I mean, it's a very
don't
tough
feed
one.
The trolls.
I would say don't feed the trolls.
And I think you're right.
And I think it's nice. It's very generous of you to worry about their feelings, but and it's very it's very of your, you know, of your nature to worry.
Nature.
About people.
Thank you.
That's why you're. It's probably you're exhausted with worrying. I mean, that's probably why we've got these dreadful bags. To be honest.
Well, listen, I've got to go. No. I'm on my way to Harley Street to sort out this
face. No, you don't have any. And the other thing is, I mean, needless to say, you don't have any bags under your eyes.
Well, but, I think I just look like a person.
Yes, exactly.
I am just a woman that looks 38.
You look gorgeous, honey.
Thanks, Tom. Stop flirting. It's embarrassing.
Please. But I remember being on a thing and I just come back from holiday and all the comments were like, oh, he's put on weight. Look how much weight he's put. I didn't recognise him at first. Oh, my God. Look, I can see he works on a cooking show. I'm like, oh, my God.
Guys, I'm right here.
You know, it didn't.
You know.
It was upsetting, but.
But here we are.
I let it go. I've forgotten it. You know, it hasn't.
It's not swimming around your brain, ready to hop up at any given opportunity.
Exactly. But also, you know, like someone like our friend Rob Beckett, he would say something underneath and then he would be like, well, what are you going to do? He wouldn't worry.
He wouldn't worry about upsetting a troll's feelings.
Because he'd go, well, why did you say something horrible then?
Yeah.
And like my dad would have been like that. Like, what are you bloody worried about?
Yeah.
He's an arsehole. So you just told him.
He was an
arsehole. Yeah. And And then you're worried about it. What? Like, you know.
No, so, but I think I hear you.
Our brains trick us, don't they?
Discussed at length. Tom, you need to leave. Are you off to a tour show or off to a job?
I'm on James Martin.
Oh yeah. Saturday Kitchen.
Well, it's like Saturday Kitchen. It's not Saturday Kitchen. It's I can't remember what it's called.
Tuesday afternoon.
It's Tuesday afternoons, it's called.
You have a lovely time.
Well, thanks, Susie.
I love you.
Love you too. And don't you get stressed about a thing, okay?
I'm not. Don't you worry about a thing.
Just think about what Helen George would say in all
situations.
She'd
say, it's a Von Toos.
Oh, is that what she said?
No, I mean, that's just a type of delivery for a baby.
Oh, I thought that was a line from The King and I.
No, it's forceps that you use when you can't get the baby out.
Oh. Mm.
Well. Okay, on that. We'll see you next week. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye, everyone. Bye.
Bye, 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 bye,